I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, ex-Scotland international and adopted Frenchman, Johnny BT. And we're going to be joined by Perpignan and Italy fly half, Tommaso Allan, shortly as well, to chat about the World Cup, top 14, loads of other stuff. And of course, we'll be discussing the opening weekend of the Champions Cup, which is pretty disappointing for French sides, very good for English sides. We should start though with an apology, Johnny, for missing last week. It was your fault, yeah?
We should start with, mate, how was Centre Parks and your lack of Wi-Fi? Let's get to the root of this.
I fully blame Centre Parks and not my family, I should say. We had no Wi-Fi all week. We were supposed to record it just to lift the curtain a little bit before I set off on Monday morning. A few issues there with guest. Not that I'm blaming them either. I take full responsibility. But yeah, no Wi-Fi all week. So I apologise, Johnny. It's not your fault.
More importantly, how was Centre Park? Did you have a good time with family? Did you come back invigorated, energised?
Do you want the answer that's been through the media officer is fully prepped?
No, or... we want the truth, mate.
It was dreadful. No, it was. The kids loved it. Adults just fraught. It's worse than being at home, isn't it? It's more stressful. No? You don't agree?
Mate, I love getting out of the house. I don't know. I like the unstructured. I like getting away. I hate being tied to the routine. I like breaking it, getting, but then also kids don't sleep wherever you are. They're all on it. Misses is stressed. That stresses you out. There's always stress. It's nice to come back from a holiday. It's nice to go away as well.
The 1-year-old slept in a bathroom. That was our setup. Drip, drip, dripping of a tap. Heated towel ran on all night.
Chinese torture. He's sleeping 50 degrees. He's delighted.
No, it was very Christmassy. Winter wonderland. A good time was had, but it's a busy time of year, isn't it? It's Champions Cup time. So it's tricky. Tricky for the adults, Johnny. How was your week?
My week was good, mate. Normal. And then this weekend was here, there and everywhere with TNT for the coverage, which was really nice. So I was down in Toulouse for Toulouse-Cardiff on Saturday in the pissing rain. And then I was at La Rochelle for La Rochelle-Leinster on Sunday in the pissing rain. And yeah, enjoyed it, mate. Decent road trip. You forget France is a big old country. So in the back of the car and carting everyone around France. But good people, good team at TNT, good to spend time with them and enjoyed the rugby. There's loads to catch up on the weekend. So it was a good weekend.
And we mentioned it, unprecedented weekend of success on the English side of things. On the French side though, pretty disappointing, has to be said. Only Toulouse and Bordeaux won out of the eight sides in the Champions Cup. So what do you make of that? Because a lot was sort of made of how the English side would struggle in advance of the competition because of the issues in English club rugby and the budgets, but they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't. He'll remain nameless, but one of the coaches at one of the teams I was at the weekend came up to him. He was like, bloody hell, mate. Rugby's an absolute state back in the UK, isn't it? It's an absolute shit show. And then everyone went on to lose. So you just don't know. La Rochelle, obviously, they lost. Plenty of possession, loads of territory. But it was torrential. Like, I'm not sure if it came across that way on TV. It was absolutely appalling conditions. And if defense has ascendancy, you've got to think Mr. Nienaber, who's come in. You saw Leinster looking like South Africa, really good line speed, really good kick chase, really good press. And they were just better. They had one opportunity to score and they took it. La Rochelle, umpteen opportunities, loads of penalties in front of the sticks, kept going to the corner, but couldn't convert. So look, that's disappointing for them because they haven't clicked all year. And the chat with a few of the coaches was, look, big performance last week. All the players back in camp this week. We're looking good. We're looking dangerous. But then it was horrendous. Like, it was absolutely horrendous conditions to play rugby. And in the end, it was a coin toss as to who was going to win in what has become a modern day rivalry. Like, that fixture is now something we look forward to. So difficult loss for them. They go to the Stormers this week. They left on Monday as well. So they just packed everyone up straight after the game, jumped on the plane. And that's not easy. So they could quite easily slip up down there as well and have nothing from their first two games. So that was huge. And Racing was another epic game, man. Like four tries apiece. That could have gone either way. They could have won with the last play of the game. I think it was Dino Lam picked up a yellow card with the last play of the game. They knocked on from the penalty that came. They still got 2 points from the game, though. They got, you know, losing bonus and four try bonus. So they take something from the game and march on. But yeah, it wasn't easy. There isn't the gulf. And we say a gulf, like Leinster, La Rochelle, there isn't a gulf. Racing against Quinns on a carpet. Racing looked a little bit defensively frail, like a couple of schoolboy errors over chasing on the inside and simple things like that, coughing up points. And they aren't a side that has the physical dominance that they once had over English sides. No, like a big old game, a great game to watch, like real fun, because the ball's chucked around, loads of ball in play. But Harlequins, like, absolutely worth their win.
Yeah, it's tough to group sides together by nation, really, because there's so many differences between all the sides. There's a couple of French sides who clearly didn't put their first choice sides out, and that was a massive contributing factor in why they lost. Equally, a lot of English sides did, and I suppose it might be later in the competition where we see French sides come into their own because they have got that greater depth.
Yeah, it's a weird one, though. Like, you take Bayonne, for instance, away to Munster, and that's a first time participating in the competition, first time away to Munster, written off completely before the game. Like, nobody gave them a chance. Way down at the break, but they just showed guts, character, organization. Like, they defended extremely well throughout the second period as well. And now they've got a real shot going through. Like, to get 2 points there, they've got Glasgow at home this weekend in Bayonne. They'll go full noise against Glasgow, who really struggled against Northampton. And you think Bayonne now, a club that you wouldn't have really called it, have a serious chance of going through. A few other teams as well ripped up, like Bordeaux away from home in Connacht. Maxime Lucu looks more and more like he's going to be the number one to fill in for Antoine Dupont during the Six Nations. Tatafu, the number eight they've brought in, he's an absolute monster. And they've just got that backline we talked about. I don't know, it's a strange competition this year where you can see big teams like La Rochelle potentially being written off very quickly, very early in the competition. But as we saw, you can't count anyone out because with one win or 4 or 5 points, you can still sneak through. So La Rochelle, difficult win South Africa this week. Later on, they've still got Leicester, I think, in round three, back at home. So everything's still to play for. But yeah, it's really hard to keep track. The pools, the systems, the way it works. But some really interesting games. Like, we have no idea how they're going.
Right, we'll have a chat with Tomaso Allen in a minute. We might discuss a few more of those games in a bit more detail later on. And of course, look ahead to round two. But first, let's find out what your meter moment of the week is, Johnny.
It's Challenge Cup, mate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. I didn't watch the game live, but all of my old teammates have sent it through to me. If you can catch the highlights, check out Cast against Llanelli. They get it this week for an absolute worldie of a try. No look passes, offloads around the back. Brilliant to watch in terrible conditions. Again, we talked about the tricking conditions of other games, but this was top class in horrible weather in Cast. But it came from a phase of play that looked like it was going nowhere. Butito flicks it around the back. He finds Abraham Papali hanging out in the wing. He chucks a no-looker back inside to Botitu. There's a theme here, like Pacific Island theme as well. Finds Nakarawa, pops it over his shoulder without looking to link with Gauthier. And he somehow, on like a cut, like completely unscripted, unplanned, finds LeBrun on a scissors who goes under the stick. So all unstructured, no plan, all about skill set and great to watch. So well done, Cast. You are a meter moment of the weekend. And it was ridiculous to watch.
Yeah, check it out on social media or YouTube if you can. And if we've learned anything from previous weeks, is that you are maybe open to a bit of favouritism, so send your videos in and you could be meter moment of the week next week.
Anytime.
That was Johnny's meter moment of the week, and Meter is the world's number one wireless meat thermometer, recently making over 20 million cooks better with their game-changing app and completely wireless Bluetooth meat probe. You can use it on a barbecue, in the oven, or in a pan, and you can get your hands on one at meter.com. Plus, you can get 10% off any full-price item. All you have to do is enter the code FrenchPod10 at checkout. That's FrenchPod10, and you'll get 10% off any full price item at meter.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's bring in our guests now then, and we can have a chat with a man who's not too far away from a century of caps for Italy now, and he's back in the top 14 this season after a few years away in the Premiership and URC. It's Perpignan and Italy fly half. Tommaso Allan joins us. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure. I had a nice week off, which was needed after the World Cup and all that, so managed to get some energy back in the body and then ready to go for the next couple of weeks.
Me and Johnny could do with a bit of that, a bit of energy back in the body, couldn't we, Johnny? We sound absolutely fucked today. But anyway, you're here to bring the energy. I've got a hard-hitting question first before Johnny cracks on. What's your name? Is it Tommy? Is it Tommaso? Because we get told a different thing, Premiership, international.
Well, my full name is Tommaso, but everybody calls me Tommy. It's easier.
It's not a contractual thing where you have to be called it for Italy and then at club level it's Tommy.
It's Tommy's easiest. Everybody in Italy calls me Tommy anyway.
We'll go with Tommy, Johnny.
I mean, I don't even want to ask about rugby. I want to, like, week off, you're in London. You sound like you've got a croaky throat. You must have had a few days on it as well. Like, what have you been up to? What have the holidays been like?
No, I was in Paris last week with the family. I went to Disneyland. So it was pretty good.
It sounds like hell. You don't have to lie to us.
It was tough, but Disneyland was quite cool. Went for the little one, but mostly for me, really, just to go on all the rides. As soon as he fell asleep, I just went on all the crazier rides. Me and the missus took turns on who was going to go. So, no, it was good. Enjoyed it. And then just got into London today for an event. And, meeting some mates later for dinner, which hopefully won't be too long because, I've been up since 3 a.m. this morning. So, hence the croaky throat. It's all because of that, nothing else.
You're making me feel so much better. I had a week at Centre Parks, but 3 a.m. in Disneyland, I'm all of a sudden feeling bright and breezy now.
I know. I need to get some caffeine in me.
As entertaining as Centre Parks and Disneyland is, we should talk rugby. You are back at Perpignan this season, so it's been a while. Does it feel like going home?
Yeah, it's been what, 10 years now since I first joined them. So it feels like it hasn't really changed much. Like the city itself has got nicer, but a lot of the staff members were the same that I had left. I know the coaching staff has changed, but I actually played with a couple of them, David Marti and Villaseca, who was second row, so they're both coaching now. So I'm starting to feel old now because I'm being coached by the guys I've played with. So it's awesome. The fans have been so welcoming to me. It's been incredible. The Catalan crowd is pretty crazy, so it's nice when you're on the good books. I'm sure you guys know. So it's awesome to be back. I love the city. Like yesterday, we were just walking on the beach. Now I'm in London where it's freezing, but there's just the contrast of lifestyles is incredible, and I'm loving it at the moment.
Like, that's when you know you're getting old, or creeping is when your mates become the coaches. It's you're nearly there, 100 caps, mate. You're nearly there. Like you mentioned, the town hasn't changed too much. If anything, it's improved and got a little bit brighter over time. But like, having been away from the top 14 and played in it for so long and the time spread apart, you must have noticed a change in the league and the quality of the top 14 generally. So in the time that you've been away and now back, what have you made of that?
From the fans, just the whole spectacle of it. It's like a mass. Every game is a massive event. Like the whole town's there watching. Like you walk into the stadiums, flares going off. It's so good. Even when you play away from home, sold out stadiums all the time. We played in La Rochelle 2 weeks ago. Place was bouncing. It's crazy, honestly. I think after the World Cup, it's got even more. Like I know, obviously the French weren't too happy about the results and stuff, but I think it's pushed rugby in the right direction, which is nice to see after so many other places at the moment is maybe going a little bit down with all the problems going on in the world of rugby at the moment. But I think France is in its own little bubble, and it's just great to be a part of it at the moment.
And you mentioned you were in the rain and the cold of London last season at Quinn. So how does that move to Perpignan come about?
Yeah, basically, I had a chat with them early on last season. I was nearing my ending time in Harlequins, and they had a good program. They had a good they gave me some it was nice to speak to them, just like catch up on different memories and stuff, and it just felt like the right thing to do, honestly, to go back. I always wanted to go back to France. Like my time at Quins was incredible. Like I think I improved so much as a player being at Harlequins, learning from so many other like great players there, but I just wanted to go back to France and experience the top 14 again, because I missed it. It's just a great competition to be a part of.
And so, mate, what's the start of the season been like? Because obviously it's been relegation battles. It's been up and down the past few seasons. Like, you know, what it's like. You've been in those battles before. It's not easy, but a big early win over Montpellier, sort of local rivals in the top 14, and a little bit more at ease than in years previous? Or is there still that sort of tense feeling around the club of, you know, it's going to be a slog, the top 14 is a marathon, and it's going to be a difficult year again?
Well, we know top 14 is a tough competition. We didn't help ourselves in the first three games. We didn't get a single point when obviously all the World Cup boys were away. I didn't realize how many actually World Cup players we had. We had 9 players in our team, which, didn't help obviously with the results. So it started off slowly, like an unlucky loss to Poe as well at home. We were leading and then we just kind of slipped away. That was tense times because we had lost 4 in a bounce. And then luckily we managed to pull a good result against Toulon at home, which kind of made us go in the right direction. It's tough because obviously it's a brand new coaching setup with Frank being there. A lot of new players. Everybody's getting to know each other. But speaking to the boys that were there last year as well, they just feel like we're in such a better position at the moment. It's still, we only played 8 games now. There's still, 18 games to go or something like that. Like, it's such a long season. And we know that once we click, we've got the right team to be able to put every other team in the top 14 under pressure. At the moment, we just got to figure out how to perform away from home. It's a bit of a cliche, isn't it, with French rugby. We're not really performing away from home. When we're at home, we're good. We play really well. We had some narrow losses, one against Toulouse away. And then La Rochelle, we played so well for the first half. And then second half, I don't know what happened. It just slipped. But I think if you get those things right, get a few good wins away from home and keep our stadium a big fortress, we should be good. But it'll be good to get a couple more wins under our belts just to be a bit more at ease. Because at the moment, we're 13th. Montpellier's behind us, but it's still a bit of a stressful period.
And we introduced you as a fly half, but you've obviously spent a bit of time at fullback, a bit of time at fly half, as you have with Italy and then with Quins before that. Until a year or so ago, I don't think you'd played a single game at fullback, had you? So how does that kind of positional switch come about? Was that a chat with the coaches at Quins and then with Italy and then with Perpignan? Or
I think at Quins I hardly played, to be honest. I think I came on for a few minutes here and there at fullback, obviously, because when Marcus is playing 10, you're not going to take him off. So you've got to kind of adapt yourself. But then with Italy, with the way Kieran was playing and all that, he kind of wanted two playmakers in the team with me and Paolo. So we kind of switched here and there, me playing at 10, him at 12, or him at 10, me at 15. it didn't really make a difference to the way we were playing. Like, it's like having two tens, and I enjoy it. It's fun playing fullback. Get a bit more time with the ball in hand, and can help out with the fly half as well. Like at the moment, I'm helping out Jake McIntyre at Perpignan. I think having two playmakers is always a big help in the way a team plays. So I think that's what we're doing at the moment with Perpignan. Obviously, I see myself more as a fly half, but like I'm happy to play at 15 if it's for the benefit of the team and everything. We'll see where we go, and then we'll see with Italy as well in the future.
I love playing two-sided. I love playing with two playmakers. Like with Scotland, if you had Stuart Hogg that could pop up and just offer something different, or two-sided attack, made it so much more difficult to contain. Like we saw, I don't know if you watched, but like Marcus Smith absolutely ripping it up against Racing at the weekend. And you played with him lots at Quinn's. So like one, like in that times of dual playmakers, what you made of playing with him, how good you think Marcus is, and if you think he's the man to lead England forward at 10.
Oh, I got along really well with him. He's a great guy. He loves rugby. Like he's so into like his training regime and everything. He's so focused. I've learned so much from him. Hopefully he's learned a couple of things from me as well. I think that drop kick on the weekend was just due to me.
Oh, you.
For me, 100%. No, but he's a great guy, great player. He's still so young. But yeah, he carved up in the weekend some silly things. But that's what Marcus does, like week in and week out. He had a great game against Sale as well the week before. So I'm hoping, I'm biased, obviously. I'd love to see him play at 10 for England, especially now that Faz is out. For the next Six Nations, so that gives a massive opportunity to him, but to the other fly halves as well in the league, to push for that number 10 spot. There's a lot of competition, which is good though for England and for them to just push them forward. But yeah, I'd love to see him playing. I think that's actually Italy is the first game in the Six Nations.
Yeah,
so that could be a good one.
And mate, I know you're on holiday. You just mentioned there a little bit on Marcus, but watching around Europe this weekend, what games did you manage to watch, and what French sides have you been really impressed by so far?
I've watched here and there because obviously I was on holiday. I watched some highlights and stuff. I also watched the Treviso game just because I got a few mates playing, and we're actually playing Treviso next week. French sides, I think Bordeaux is dangerous. We played against them, I think 3 weeks ago in Bordeaux. Their backline is just lethal. Like they got so many international or French international players, and they got a really big pack. So I think winning away from home for them was a massive boost. I think they're going to be a good team, like a very serious contender this year. Obviously, you've got Toulouse all the time. They know how to win games, and they put a massive display against, was it Cardiff? I think it was, wasn't it? And now they got King on as well. So then Ramos can play at 10, and they got a really good fullback to like dual playmaking as well. Same as what we're doing. So I think those two teams in France are going to be the ones that are really pushing for Europe, and they'll have a big chance to win it, I reckon, as well.
Just on that dual playmaker role, you said it maybe doesn't make too much of a difference, but you've obviously experienced it playing at 15 with Paolo Garbisi at 10. You've played 10, him at 12. Does it matter the numbers on your back? Do you have a preference whether you play with one at 10, 12 or 10, 15?
I think the way rugby is going at the moment, it doesn't matter too much what number you've got on your back. You've got your forwards and your backs, but like everybody moves around the field quite a lot. You'll get one guy at first receiver is not a 10 a lot of the times, 10 sitting behind the pod. So it doesn't really matter, as long as you're using your skill set to the right way. Make sure you play to your strengths, and yeah, it's quite of a hybrid game at the moment, in my opinion. Obviously, you've got your position specifics; you can't really shift the prop up on the wing or whatever. But I wouldn't really want to be in that front line there anyway. So yeah, I think it doesn't really matter at the moment what number you got on your back.
I mean, we see plenty of boys that can interchange 10, 15, but you coming into it, and I guess being fairly new, do you have like a reference that you look to and think, okay, that boy does it, like a Damian McKenzie, a Borden Barrett, or like who would you say can do that role perfectly, like a world-class 15 that can also play 10 and vice versa?
Well, I think you mentioned them, honestly. Like Damian McKenzie, Borden Barrett, they've moved around a lot, but it doesn't really change the way they play. They still play to their strengths, and they get the ball in the right spaces anyway. So like they would if they were playing at 10. So they're very good two very good players to look at. I think Ramos as well is doing really well at the moment. He's playing a lot of 10 now because obviously Ntamack is injured. But he's interchanging very well, and I think he's a class player. He's played so well for the last 2 years. So yeah, I think those three players are the ones to look at if you want to learn a bit about the hybrid and how to change positions and then still be effective.
And obviously he did it a bit for England at the World Cup. Could you see Marcus Smith starting at fullback for England with George Ford at 10? Could you see that working, or do you see him as a 10?
I think it could be a possibility, but I think Marcus is more of a 10. He's more dangerous at 10. The more touches he has on the ball, the better it is. I think you need someone like him just to manage the game and push the team in the right direction. So I'm not even sure if he would want to play or not at 15. I think he sees himself as a 10. I see now whenever Jared Evan comes on for Quins, he goes to 15 though. So yeah, it could be a possibility, but obviously I'd see him more as a fly half.
And you see yourself as a fly half, but when you arrive at Perpignan and you spend a bit of time at fullback with Jake at 10, is that a conversation you have with the coaches, or do they just literally say, this is the team, as you say, doesn't really matter what numbers on your back, go out there?
Yeah, I think it's a conversation that you always have with the coaches. Obviously, you want to play in your preferred position, but I know Frank wants some stability as well at the moment with how things are going. And he likes having, obviously, two playmakers that can bounce off each other. And he's always said to me, like, if you find yourself a 10, go for it. Like, you're a world-class 10, so just play with your instinct anyway. So it doesn't really matter what it is. We're just trying to win a few more games now. And just, like, as long as we get some good results, then we can just keep going forward. And it doesn't matter what number you got in the back of your jersey.
How would you describe Frank as a boss, mate?
I like him a lot. He's very, like, straight to the point. He doesn't really beat around the bush. But he's got a really good IQ as well, I think, and rugby IQ. I think he's been to New Zealand to learn a little bit from the coaches there, which says a lot. You wouldn't see many French coaches do that, which says a lot about the person he is and how he wants to improve. And he's also really good at player management. I've spoken to him a lot, even when I was away and during the World Cup. Have a good relationship with him. So no, I'm really happy, and I think he's got a really good plan going forward for the next 3 or 4 years with Perpignan. So yeah, as long as we can keep battling it out and then obviously stay up in the top 14, I think it's going to be a bright future for this team.
You mentioned the World Cup there. We've got to talk about it briefly. It always looked like a tall order in that pool with France and New Zealand. Obviously a big disappointment, particularly how those two games panned out. But have you had a chance to reflect on why they in particular went so wrong? Because people were talking up Italy's chances, not necessarily of beating France and New Zealand, but you'd put in such good performances before that.
Yeah, I think we've kind of maybe talked too much about it. Might have angered the All Blacks a little bit. There's a lot of talk during the week and stuff. And obviously they had their backs against the wall as well, because if they had lost that game, they would have been out of the World Cup. So it was something that they've never really experienced. And you could see that what a class team they were. They came out firing after that. Honestly, I think, yeah, we struggled in our breakdowns a lot. We're a team that wants to play quick ball. And I think both the French and the All Blacks kind of slowed down our breakdown a lot. And then in the set piece, we weren't functioning too well, especially against New Zealand. We lost quite a lot of lineouts and a lot of our own scrums as well. And if you do that international rugby, you're not really going to get anywhere. But we'll learn from it. I think it's still a good experience as a very young team in Italy. Like, I think that they're doing so well at the moment in the club teams. Like, Treviso's doing really well, and so is Zebre. Honestly, they've had a really good start. Even if they haven't won too many games, they've actually been competing really, really well, which will create a lot more confidence, I reckon, for this Six Nations, and I think that for the following years as well. I think there's a bright, bright future.
Mate, they've improved massively. The two provinces have been superb. The other thing to watch out for is the under-20s. Like, the boys coming through in the performances they've had against England, knocking over big sides regularly. It's all really positive. But at the top level, what do you think it is, like, the next step that's required for Italy to be knocking over sides regularly in the Six Nations? Because everything seems to be pushing in a positive sense.
I think it's tough when you've only got two provinces, two teams that that feed into the national team, really. So, like, if you're under 20s player, if you don't get picked up by those two teams, then you're kind of left stranded a little bit. That's why I'm hoping that more players will go overseas, have those experiences overseas, whether it's France, England, Scotland, wherever, like just get some more experiences. Just then they can come back a better player, and then they can actually improve the setup. Because, yeah, like you said, the under 20s is doing so well. But like even with Treviso now, they got such a big squad at the moment with such quality players that maybe those under 20 players aren't going to get much of a chance at the moment. So it's just trying to find a way, even if it's not in Italy, just to get as much experience playing at the highest level as possible.
I know it isn't the case in lots of countries like England, for example, but that's something that is encouraged in Italy, for players to go abroad, play all around the world, and then still come back and be picked by the national team. Kieran Crowley was very keen on it, very open about it, and he thought that was a good thing. Obviously, you all knew, the whole world knew that Kieran Crowley was leaving after the World Cup. So how was that? Obviously, it probably didn't affect the result against New Zealand or against France, but was it a slightly odd situation where you'd had this period where you had been building and building and building, and you'd had some really good performances, really good results as well, and then the World Cup where you were supposed to be aiming for, you all of a sudden know your boss is leaving?
Yeah, it was a weird one, honestly. Kieran told us before it got announced that that was the case. So I think we found out in May that was happening. Just so we wouldn't be too shocked hearing the news during camp. That's when it actually came out, when we were in camp. But he was like super professional about it. Like, rugby's a business at the end of the day. So the things happen that you can't really control. And you just got to move on with it. And our sole focus was the World Cup and doing something to make him proud as well. Because he's done so much for Italian rugby, not just for Italy, but for Treviso, building the years prior to that. He's done so much. I think he's created a really good DNA for Italy to follow. We'll see now what happens with Quesada as well, if he wants to follow that or implement his own structures. I think they've had actually Italy had a camp today with the Italy based players. I think it was just more like a presentation thing and all that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think Quesada can bring a lot as well. I've heard really good things about him from Stade Francais and Jaguares as well. So I think it'll be good. We need to improve a couple of things for sure, especially in our own half. If we can get that right and keep our attack the way it is, I think, yeah, we can be very dangerous.
And when you say that, I'm guessing your own half is just overplaying in your own third, right? That would be the one thing, or the criticism that would be leveled at Italy, was actually in the middle third, you played some terrific rugby, but I'd imagine, and I've been there myself as a player, you're exhausted. If you try and play out of your 22 and it doesn't go right, you cough ball up and you have to defend in your red zone. Or if you get to the halfway line, you just had to work through multi-phase 40 phases to get there. So like, it's never easy. It's almost like pie in the sky thinking. So like, I agree with you. If Italy can get that balance right and play the brand of rugby that you were playing under Gonzalo, because again, the way that he got Stade Francais playing, like, it was attractive, like really good to watch, organized. I agree with you. I hope that changes. And you mentioned Gonzalez. I wanted to ask you, like, have you had any conversations with him? Because he's meant to be tremendous on the sort of human side of working with people and empowering players as a camp going on just now. But has he been reaching out to foreign players yet, or is it a bit too early?
Yeah, no, he reached out to me last week just to see how I was getting on. I think I'll have a catch up with him in the near future, before Christmas, hopefully. I'm sure he wants to come to the south of France as well to experience that lifestyle a little bit. So hopefully I can catch up with him and see what his thinking behind his philosophy and everything is. And it'll just be nice to have a catch up and get to know each other a little bit. I've heard really good things about him. So yeah, I'm excited. It's gonna be a good new year, hopefully. Like you said, we played way too much in our half. I think that's how we lost those two or three games last year in the Six Nations that we probably should have won. It's just because we played too much rugby in our own half.
One more on international rugby before we go back to Perpignan, because Johnny's got a vested interest and want me to ask this. You're basically Scottish, right? You played under 20 for Scotland. Your dad's Scottish. Why are you not playing for Scotland? What went wrong?
I've done all the age grade with Scotland. I got funneled through London Scottish because I was living in, like, close to London at the moment. it's always a tough one. I was born in Italy. I was raised in Italy. I've always felt more Italian. I got all my family in Italy. My dad's side of the family is actually all lives in South Africa, because that's where they were brought up for pretty much their whole lives. So I'm really proud of my Scottish heritage. Like, it's whenever I go to Murrayfield or play against Scotland, it's always an incredible honor, even hearing the anthem. Like, I'm not going to obviously sing it, but I'll hum it in my head.
Nobody judge.
Yeah, I'll hum it in my head and stuff. It's always incredible, honestly. Like, I owe so much to Scotland and the age grade setup for what they've done to me. But it just felt like the right thing to do at the time when I got asked when I first joined Perpignan when I was 20 years old. They literally came straight away and they were like we wanted you to play for Italy. What would you say? And I didn't really hesitate. I just said, yeah, 100%. I'm all for it. And I don't regret it whatsoever. I've got so many friends in Scotland that I've played with and now I'm playing against. And it's always a good time playing against Scotland or the Scottish clubs, because yeah, you can play against your mates, which is awesome.
Which is your age bracket? Like, who did you come through the under 20 ranks with?
Well, Johnny Gray, Ali Price, Finn was there. Obviously, he's a year older than me, but we played in the same team for 1 year. Jamie Batty, who else? I don't want to be missing out. Mark Bennett was there as well. There's a fair few players are doing very. Sam Hidalgo Klein as well. He's at Treviso now. He was in my age grade. So I think we had a pretty good team. George Turner as well.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good Scotland under 20 generation, Joey. Not like the one now. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. But
no, mate, I was going to say it's like quite a good drinking team as well. That sounds like the initiations would be good.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about one boy in particular who, again, we want to know where he's going to end up, but just how impressive he is to be working in, week out, is Pasolo Tuilagi. Young guy, like what, 2 meters, 140 kgs, and an absolute monster. So just how good is he going to be?
Yeah, he's incredible. To make me feel even older, he showed me a picture when I think it was 2014 when I was playing with his dad, and then we won against Agen away, and there's a picture of us celebrating in the changing room, and he's there in the huddle next to us, and he's like tiny. He's like 12, not tiny. He was still bigger than me probably.
Yeah, he's still 100 kgs.
Yeah, but he was like 12 years old, 11 years old or something, and that made me feel even older, obviously playing with him now. But he's just a natural monster. Like, you can see, like, whenever he carries the ball, there's three or four players have to tackle him, and he still gets go forward. Like, it's crazy, honestly. Like, I haven't seen something like that in a long time. It's nice having him in the team, like, with me, but it's pretty scary thinking that he might be playing for France in the Six Nations. Him and Miafu as well. That's a very heavy second row pairing. Hopefully, if we do play against each other, I'll just tell him to just keep it easy on me, because yeah, he's just and he chases, like, he just loves chasing box kicks. Like, you've seen it, there's a few times in the highlights and stuff. Our number nines would just put a box kick up and he'll put himself instead of a winger and just chase it and just smash whoever catches that ball. It's just, it's crazy. And they love him in Perpignan, obviously. So hopefully we can keep him for as long as possible. But I'm sure he's got a lot of eyes looking at him at the moment.
Absolutely. You don't think this Six Nations will be too soon? He's ready for international rugby.
I don't think it's too soon, honestly. I know now with they've lost Taufi Fanua as well. There is some space in the second row. So he'd be a good replacement, 100%. Obviously, I'm not sure now if top 14 goes on during the Six Nations or what. I think it does. So obviously for Perpignan, it's probably they probably want to keep him, but at the same time, like, if you play for your country, it's the biggest honor you can have. So for him, I hope so. He's still got a few things to learn, but he's only started playing professional rugby last year with a senior team. So there's so much he can achieve, I reckon.
Mate, I can't wait. His debut is going to be France against Italy. He's going to box kick and go up. You're going to be at fullback.
I'll just let it go. Someone who wants it.
Let it bounce. Just let it bounce.
Exactly, let it bounce.
And you mentioned a bit earlier, Perpignan away at your old club Benetton this week. You're on holiday and you're in London now. The week after that, you've got an enormous top 14 game at home to Bayonne. So it's a tricky balance for all clubs, but particularly top 14 clubs, to get that one right. You will obviously have a head on Bayonne as well, but how do you see both of those two games going?
Yeah, obviously, after the loss this weekend against the Lions, now we're going away to Treviso. It's going to, obviously you want to go and give it your all, but at the same time, we need to think about what the priorities are as well. We've got a massive game against Bayonne. We're definitely going to go for Treviso as well, for sure. But I reckon in the back of the minds of a few of the boys and the staff maybe as well, that it's going to be that Bayonne game, especially because it's a six-day turnaround from the Treviso game. So it's massive. It's a home game for us. Like I said, like, we play really well at home. We need to win all our home games from now on. And Bayonne have been playing very well. They're a very dangerous team. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. But we're excited for it. We can't wait. Pre-Christmas as well will be a good send off for the holidays. I think everybody gets a couple of days off after that. So it'll be good if you get that win under our belt, so we can enjoy Christmas a little bit more.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on, Tommy, and good luck.
No worries. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Enjoy London tonight, mate.
I'll probably be in bed by like 9 p.m. or something.
You're 9 a.m. You said 9 a.m. first. I'll take your first answer. Enjoy, cheers, mate. Tommy. Cheers, Tommy.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Cheers, guys.
Tommy, Tommaso, whatever you want to call him. A good guy, a good talker, and clearly delighted to be back at sort of home, I guess.
Yeah, I wish I was in London. All I could think of was London. I'm like, you'd be having a great time tonight. Great to have him on. Sort of boy that obviously knows the Prem. He knows URC rugby. He knows international rugby. And, mate, he loves the top 14. And he kind of hit the nail on the head. He's just like, every single week, the atmosphere, the vibe you get in different towns, he loves it. So it's great that he's comfortable back in Perpignan. Different coaching staff. You hope for them that it goes a little bit easier than it has done, because the past couple of seasons, like, it's tough going. So you hope for them that they can win their next few home games, build a bit of confidence. And yeah, who knows where they're going to end up. Montpellier below them, you've got Oyonnax, Bayonne ahead of them. It's tricky, but that's why we love it.
And very honest as well about Italy. I mean, everyone could see what happened at the World Cup, but he was open about the fact that Kieran Crowley told them ahead of time. He obviously didn't want to go, and it was weird for them at the World Cup. There was a lot of talk in the week leading up to the All Blacks game, and the All Blacks can beat anyone on their day like that.
Yeah, they got absolutely battered. I don't know, I think quite a lot has been made of the Crowley chat. But if you think about any club scenario, everybody knows when the contract expires. Everyone knows you're all on a cycle. You're always together for either a season, two seasons, or a World Cup. It might just be 3 months, 5 months if you give the prep. So I don't know that. I think they made some good strides. They just fell apart, basically, at the World Cup, which was quite hard to watch. Like, I didn't enjoy Italy. Didn't enjoy watching Italy play against New Zealand. I thought that was cruel. But I also agree with the little bits that were maybe naive. You mentioned that playing out their own 22, overplaying their hand, overstressing themselves and becoming exhausted by the time you get to the halfway line. So if they can switch those little things, and Quesada's no mug, I think they will. And I think they will be slightly better placed come Six Nations time. So no, excited for him moving to fullback for both club and country. And hopefully things will be slightly more positive on both suits over the next couple of months.
Right, we'll look ahead to round two of the Champions Cup shortly, but a few games we didn't touch on. Blair Kinghorn's debut, Johnny, that went well.
Mate, it was outrageous. I'm delighted for him as well, because obviously Scottish boy coming over, he didn't know what was happening. He said, mate, I bumped into him after the game and we did chats for TNT, but he was just like, everything went so quickly. Mate, he arrived in the country on Tuesday. Started the game, scored two tries, got absolutely mobbed by his teammates, had the whole of Ernest Wallon chanting, Kinghorn, Kinghorn. Like, it doesn't get much better. And the cool bit about it was after the game, just seeing his reaction. So up close, and then we could chat off camera, he was just absolutely cheesing. And his question to me was, mate, is it like this every single week? Because if it is, this is mega. Like, do you know what I mean? He's like, I've signed 2.5 years, I'm straight off the plane, I've just scored on my debut at home. We've just absolutely crucified Cardiff, who, again, like, really young side in transition. But he just got his first taste of what it's like to be part of potentially one of the biggest clubs on the planet. And to be there and know it's going to be like that, your game day experience is going to be like that for the next 2.5 years. You're going to be on the front foot with Toulouse and you're going to be having fun. So really cool for him. Just incredible to see his reaction, which was really nice. And yeah, wish him all the best. Great signing for Toulouse.
What was your answer when he asked you that? Did you say, I've never scored 2 tries on my debut for Toulouse? I don't know.
No, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, mate. This is completely novel. I'm just happy to be here. The atmosphere bit is the nice bit, is that you can share the fact that it is like a carnival every single, it doesn't matter what crowd you go to, if it's Cast, if it's Perpignan, if it's Oyonnax, wherever you are, it's bonkers. And that's the cool bit for a player, is the atmosphere that you get to be a part of and feed off as a player in the top 14, I think is the best in the world. So that was what he was feeling for the first time. And you could see he was like a kid at Christmas, just before Christmas, which was really nice to see.
Leon had some superstars on show, but they also had some youngsters on show, a bit of a mixed bag. They very nearly won away at Bristol, scored a load of unanswered points in the second half, but lost at the death to a Callum Sheedy drop goal.
Yep.
Stade Francais, real mixed bag with the games they've had in the past few weeks and the ones they've got coming up. They're going to go with a stronger side, according to Paul Gustard, this weekend, but they lost fairly comfortably away at Sale. The one that did put out a strong side and lost that we haven't talked about was Toulon. And that would have been a shock to some, losing to Exeter.
Yeah, well, Toulon, like three-time winner, like three on the trot. It's no longer that team, right? It's like the Munster, like everyone in Bayonne was talking about going to Munster, and you're no longer playing against that generation that was golden era. And Toulon's kind of the same. I still look at them as going through transition, not really settled. They aren't splashing the cash as they were. They're not blowing people off the field with huge budget and ridiculous signings, and they're still finding their feet. So that being said, their budget is still considerably larger than Exeter, who've been stripped back to, not spare parts, but to youth. Like, a lot of that side is youth, but what you can't replace is the diligence in coaching, their structure, how they fight for each other. And they might have had a slight physical advantage too long, but Exeter no mugs. Like, they've won this competition. They might have had more firepower in the past, but allow them to hold the ball. They had one lucky intercept try, which sort of offset things in the first period, but they worked their way back into the game. They were good. And Toulon weren't able to bat them and bury them the way they used to be able to so easily. Worrying for them as well, losing Baptiste Sarin, dislocated shoulder. How long is that going to be? Is that going to require an operation? We'll find out more this week. Ben White will have to step up. We've had him on recent weeks, top class player. He will now start the whole way through to the Six Nations. It's a good run of games for him. But yeah, that's a big loss at home for Toulon. Now, where do they go? Away to Northampton, who actually look good in Glasgow. But the question is, do they have enough firepower away from home? What kind of side will they take? Do they want to get through? Are they going to prepare for the top 14? We'll wait and see. But that's it. Losing at home first up to Exeter is a big blow.
And you mentioned that Munster aren't the sort of European giants that they were when Ronan O'Gara was there and winning European Cups, but they did win the URC last season, and they are still a good side. I don't think anyone expected Bayern to go there and get a draw. So how did they do it?
Mate, they were great. And again, completely written off, but their mole's a fantastic weapon. Like, Patat, since he's come in, has got them organised. They defended really well. They didn't fold. That's the other thing. Like, a Bayern side would have gone there previously and gone down maybe at halftime and sort of given up, but the pride in the way they play, a few extra players coming and adding a little bit of a point of difference as well. Apertidze, the Georgian scrum half, we haven't seen much of him. He's sort of making his mark now after the World Cup. He set up a great try down the blind side for Remy Bagé. Look, they're just set up well. They're difficult to break down. Defensively, they're solid, and they've got a few weapons. They managed to fire a shot. So that, for me, was potentially one of the results of the weekend. Like, for Bayonne to go away from home with a mixed 15, really, and draw with Munster in that type of environment was phenomenal.
Yeah, nobody wins at Thomond Park in Europe, really. And for Bayonne to go there and get a draw, epic. Round two. There are some big ones, as you'd expect. We mentioned earlier on La Rochelle travelling to South Africa. They need a win, really, don't they?
They do, mate. They need a win. They need it bad. And that's not an easy task. Like, flying on the Monday, getting to South Africa, essentially acclimatizing and doing a team run. And they probably won't be full of... It's really weird, Matt, because they're so full of firepower. It's obviously difficult not having Rog there in the change rooms as well at the weekend. He'll be back this week. But you got to think there's got to be a little bit of a lack of confidence from in previous seasons, everything being so easily. They've just put it into third gear and they've been able to walk over people, whereas for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to be clicking. But given the way Rog thinks, given the way he operates, I expect him to problem solve. He's got the physical pieces to go and do some damage. Are they going to beat the Stormers this weekend? I'm not sure. I think that's a really tough task to go down there and win. The South African sides in this competition don't lose too often at home at all. So that'll be really difficult for them. Ulster against Racing, another really interesting one. Racing losing at home, but picking up those 2 points their way to Ulster. Ulster haven't looked exceptional so far in this competition or in the URC either. So that could be a different way of them going and picking up some points on the road. I'm really looking forward to Quins against Toulouse.
Jouer.
Oh, I'm just like, it's two sides that you love to watch, right? Quins, they love to throw the ball around. Toulouse as well, probably have a little bit too much firepower for Harlequins, but Quins are great with the ball, right? So if they manage to retain some, that could be a proper battle. The one weirdly that I'm looking forward to most, I'm going to go down the road, have a beer.
The Johnny Beattie Derby.
Mate, I'm going to catch up with all my mates. I'll take a flat, I'll wear half a shirt, I'll wear my shorts for one and one my socks for the other. But Bayonne against Glasgow, Friday night, I'll be on TNT as well. Really looking forward to that. Glasgow, the point to prove after being rolled against Northampton at home. But I reckon Bayonne, mate, are going to be too strong. I reckon Achuria, Cami Lopez, all these guys will be back leading from the front before they go to Perpignan the week after. And that's a real shot at them potentially going through and making the round of 16. If they beat Glasgow, there's a big chance of them going through. So looking forward to that one. Not working at it, so just going to go and enjoy a beer before setting off and doing some other games the weekend. So no, some class games coming up.
Thanks, Johnny. Enjoy your Friday night in Bayonne. Sounds good, that.
Mate, it will be. I don't know what time it's going to finish, and I've got to be
9 a.m. like Tomasso's.
Maybe, but I've got to be in Bordeaux for their game on the Saturday, then up to Paris for their game Stade Francais on the Sunday. So look, it's going to be a busy weekend, mate, but I'm looking forward to it. Should be class.
Another busy weekend coming up. Thanks, Johnny. Big thanks to Tomasso Allen for joining us, and thanks to all you guys for listening. Make sure you hit subscribe, leave us a nice review if you can, check us out on Rugby Pass and on YouTube, and we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, Johnny.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.